Is there a good way to die? Is there a bad way to die? What do you say? What does the Bible say? We'll answer those questions today as we take a look in the book.
Welcome to A Look in the Book. This program is brought to you by Bible Way Community Baptist Church in beautiful Irving, Texas, where our pastor is none other than Dr. Timothy J. Wilbert, Sr. This week, Pastor Wilbert brings a series of messages out of the book of Genesis. So get close to your radio and have a Bible ready and turn with me to Genesis chapter 49 as we take a look in the book.
Let us pray. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we do thank you, dear God, for giving us a written word. Lord, we don't have to try to figure out what life is all about. You have wrote it down in your word. You wrote it real plain. Thank you for this Bible. Now help us, dear God, to expound on this word, to make it real plain this morning, that even a child can understand it. We pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart would be acceptable in your sight, for you are my strength and you are my redeemer, and besides you there is no other. So speak in a mighty way so that the lost can be saved and the saved can be encouraged and backsliders can come back to you, and somebody who's in need of a church home, Lord, they will come right at the end of service today. So, Lord, we thank you even in advance, for we ask it in Jesus' name. For his sake we pray. Amen. Put your hands together and praise the Lord. God is so good. Those of you who have your Bibles, open with me to Genesis 49. Genesis 49. And if God has given you the ability to stand, if you could just stand for the reading of the Word of God. Genesis chapter 49, verse number 33, that last verse in that chapter. We almost do with the book of Genesis here. Got one more chapter left. Genesis chapter 49, and that last verse of that chapter, you'll find these words. And when Jacob had made an end of commanding his sons, he gathered up his feet into the bed and yielded up the ghost and was gathered unto his people. I want to talk with you on the subject this morning. A good way to die. A good way to die. High five somebody and tell them, Pastor, going to talk about a good way to die. A good way. A good way to die. How would you like to die? How you live can determine how you will die. How would you like to die. A couple of weeks ago when I was on vacation during the spring break week, I got a call early one morning as I was doing my morning walk, letting me know that one of our members' husband had just passed. And so I called the member and I expressed my condolences and send the condolences as well from the church. And after I gotten off the phone, I began to reflect on the life of that man. I began to think about how he was a good man and a kind man and a man that loved the Lord, and how he was ready to die. He was in hospice care, but he was ready to die, and God gave him an easy passing. Well, a couple of days later in that same week, my sister called me early one morning and she said, Tim, have you heard about the killing that took place last night here in Brookhaven? I said, what killing that took place here in Brookhaven? She said, you hadn't heard. She said that was a man that shot his wife and killed her, and shot her boyfriend and just about killed him, and shot three of the kids and killed one of them. I said, no, I hadn't heard. She said, well, it's all on the television. So I cut on the television and I got the rest of the story. And it happened just like she had said. And I began to think about those deaths. And I thought about how some folks has an easy passing. And some folks have a hard passing. In other words, some folks have a good way to die, and some folks have a bad way to die. How you live can determine how you die, because those who had an easy passing, they was right with the Lord. Because my sister also told me we had a death right there in the neighborhood. I said, death in the neighborhood? She said, yeah. And she told me the name of the fellow. I said, he's a young man. She said, yeah, he's 34 years old. And I said, that boy, no, he can sing. It's hard to believe that he's dead. She said, yeah, and he just sung at a funeral like this past Saturday. I said, who would ever thought that we're going to be burying him the following week? I said, how did he die? And she told me, well, he just died right there in his sleep. How you live is an indicator of how you're going to die. If you live right, then you can die right. But if you don't live right, if you're around folks that don't live right, if you're connected with sinful people that don't live right, then chances are you're not going to die right. How you live can determine how you die. Matter of fact, in the Bible, it talks about good ways to die and a bad ways to die. I began to start reading through my Bible, and the Lord brought me to over there in Moses' day, over in Numbers chapter 16, I believe, where Korah, he rebelled against Moses and led a revolt, 250 men against Moses. And it was three leaders, and God told Moses, get away from them leaders there, Moses. Let me take care of them. You're just standing in the way. Get out of the way, Moses. And Moses got out of the way of those three leaders, and the Bible said that the ground opened up. And those three leaders and their families, their whole household, the tent and all their belongings went straight, the Bible says, into the pit. What is the pit? That's hell. They went straight to hell, and the Bible says the ground closed back up. When those 250 men saw that, they took off running. But the Bible says that God struck them down with a fire and burned them up. How you live is how you're going to die. They didn't live right, and they didn't die. Right, that was bad ways to die. Then when I read over in Numbers 25, when the men of Israel began to go out and have a sexual relationship with the Midianite women, with them heathen women, in other words, if you please. And as those men was having sex, the Bible says that God saw it. How many of you know God see everything that you do, children? Yeah, yeah. I know that we living in a day and age where they putting cameras out over here. And if you know they ain't got a camera out over there, then you don't hardly worry about it. You go ahead and do something that's illegal because they ain't got no camera right there. See, I can run a red light when they ain't got the camera there at the red light there. That's how some folks think. But how many of you know God is always watching? He always got his camera rolling. And the Bible says God saw those men having sexual sins. And the Bible says God was angry. And God told Moses, hang every one of them that had sexual sins. And Moses had started hanging those men. But one man must hadn't got the news or something, because the Bible says he tried to sneak a lady there into his tent. But Moses and Aaron and the other leaders, they saw him. Even some of the church folks saw it, because it happened right there in front of the tabernacle. And the Bible says Aaron's son, who was the priest there, took a javelin and he went up in that tent. And the Bible says that he speared him, and the spear hit him right through the back and came out of his belly, went into the lady's belly, came out of her back, and went right into the ground. Where they laid was where they died. I said, I don't want to die that way, having sex with somebody that ain't none of my wife. But how you live sometime determine how you're going to die. That's a bad way to die. The Bible says that even Judas, he sold Jesus out for 30 pieces of silver, but his conscience started bothering. And the Bible says he went and hung himself. In other words, he committed suicide. Suicide is a bad way to die. I don't want to die by no suicide. That's a bad way to die. But there is a good way. There is a good way to die. And I want to look at a good way to die. Right here in our text in Genesis 49, verse number 33, it lets us know that Jacob, he died gracefully. He had an easy passing. Oh, yes. You know, and I pray that everybody on the sound of my voice, you have an easy pass, an easy transition, just like Jacob had. A good way. Yeah, a good way. You're going to die. Yeah, you're going to die. You're going to die. But I don't want to die a bad way. I want to die a good way. Look. I want you to see four things here of how Jacob had a good way to die. The four reasons that I say Jacob had a good way to die. First of all, he finished commanding his children. Yeah. Yeah, he didn't die until after he had finished commanding his children. Look, right there in the text. It says, and when Jacob had made an end of commanding his children. In other words, when Jacob had finished commanding his children, then that's when he died. Do you know what the greatest job on earth is today? No, it's not being a doctor, even though a doctor is a great profession. It's not being a lawyer, even though a lawyer is a great profession. It's not being a police or a fireman, even though those are great professions. It's not being a scientist, even though that's a great profession. It's not being a college professor, even though that's a great profession. It's not even being an entertainer, even though that's a great profession. It's not by a good athlete. You know, you can make some millions of dollars if you know how to run that ball, hit that ball, or throw that ball today. But that's not the greatest profession. The greatest job on earth that you could have is the job of a parent. Yeah. Yeah, that's the greatest job on earth. See, that's why the devil is trying to get the mama and the daddy out the house so the children can raise themselves so he can take them to hell. Yeah, because see, when that child come into this world, that child has an eternal spirit. Their body will die, but that spirit will never die. That child will never go out of existence. And when that child come into this world, they headed the wrong way. They are on their way to hell, and they're going to catch a lot of hell on their way to hell if that parent don't turn them around. The parent is the first line of defense. The parent is standing between that child and hell. And if that parent don't turn that child around, they're going to catch hell on the way to hell. And that's a tough job, parent. And that's why you can't try to be a parent and be their friend. I'm kind of scared to tell her because I know she don't like that. Because, see, you're trying to be their friend. You better tell them. Well, I say I don't want to whoop them because that may hurt their self-esteem. The Bible says that you have to put something on them to drive evil out of their heart. Listen. People respond to pain. Pain makes you change. You start having a toothache. You'll start finding, seeing, can you find you a dentist? Pain bring about a change in your life. That's the job of a parent. Parents, you got to fight for your children. The devil is trying to put them to hell. And you got to try to turn them around and get them to go to heaven. Amen. And you ought to make up your mind, parent, that I refuse to let any one of my children go to hell. Yeah. That's the role of a parent. A parent is trying to save the children. And see, one of the problems in our world today is parents think their job is over with at 18. See, they think now that you done got your high school diploma, now you need to get on out here. Get on away from here. Listen, you just sent them under hell. They finna catch some hell now. See, they need you more than they ever needed you now. See, for 18 years, they had structure. But now, they ain't got no more structure. See, for 18 years, the world in the school system, they had a rein on your child. Now that they are 18, what you need to do, rather than throwing off the reins, you need to put the reins back on and say, now let me help guide you through these trying 20s and these tough 30s. Oh, yeah. And these fakey 40s. And fast 50s, you're going to need some help all during your life. How many of you know that the older you get, the smarter your mama and daddy has become in your life? Yeah. You need some help. Don't be throwing the reins off, particularly in the 20s, because they are making life-changing decisions in the 20s. Yeah, you normally decide on who you're going to marry when you're in your 20s, of where I'm going to work when I'm in my 20s, where I'm going to stay, what kind of house I'm going to stay in, what kind of car I'm going to get. You're making life-changing decisions. And if you make a bad decision in your 20s, sometimes it'll take you the rest of your life to recover. You need some help. Yeah. Listen, that's one thing that you'll never stop being, is a mama and a daddy. Yeah. You're going to always be mama. Yeah, yeah, yeah. There's no expiration date on being mama. Yeah, 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 yeah. Yeah, the expiration date on being mama and daddy is when you expire, when you die. Then that's when you stop being mama. As a matter of fact, look right there at the text. Jacob had called all 12 of his children there to the bedside. And he commanded them. He finished telling them everything he needed to tell them. Now notice this now. Jacob is 147 years old. Think about how old them kids was. Them kids weren't 15 years old or 25 years old. Reuben, the oldest kid, was right at 100 years old, and Joseph was around about 56 years old. But Jacob was still commanding. He won. Now, let me suggest something to you. Can y'all do? No, he wasn't doing that. He was telling them what to do. Even though they was 100 years old, he still was telling them. Now, if a 100-year-old man needs to be told, what about a 10-year-old girl? See, parents, most of us got a 18, 20, 23, 24-year lead on your children. Yeah. You done been down the road that they getting ready to travel. So you can tell them, listen, child, I done been there, done that. I'm on my way back to tell you about it. That's how God done got it set up. You done been there, done that. Now tell them about it. Tell them even though they may not want to hear it. Your job, see, everybody in this church is a preacher. Yeah. Mama, your pulpit is your kitchen. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's your, you don't have to try to come up here. God gave you one in the kitchen. Because God knows everybody got to come to that kitchen sooner or later. So when they come to that kitchen and get them greens, you tell them about it. Hello, somebody. When they come in to get them pancakes, you need to tell them about it. Hello, somebody. When they come in to get them syrup and biscuits, then tell them about it. Hello, somebody. When they come in to get that last German chocolate piece of cake, then you tell them about it. And daddy, your pulpit is when you start at the door. From the front door to the back door. You need to learn how to walk and talk. Tell them about it. Tell them when you're in the living room. Tell them when they're in the den. Every now and then, you need to go on the bed.
If you would like a copy of the message you have just heard in its entirety, would you please call the church at 972-257-3766. Again, that is 972-257-3766. Or visit our new website at alookinabook.com. Again, that is alookinabook.com. And come on and worship with us this Sunday morning at 11 o'clock at the exciting Bible Way Community Baptist Church. And until next time, let's take a look in the book.